Hello everyone and welcome to the fifth and penultimate instalment of Fringe Fridays here on The Stage Place with me, Elliot. And today we are celebrating the life of the Caravan Theatre, who over lockdown have gone digital with the Digital Caravan Theatre and have celebrated the three stage plays which they took to the Kensington Theatre Festival last year and brought them online for three radio dramas which you can listen to right now. And today we are starting off with Yasmin Arden, who was the director of all three pieces at the festival and now online.
Hello Yasmin, welcome to The Stage of Place. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. It's lovely to be here with you. Really nice to talk to you today.
You too. I was just saying before we started this recording that I'd listened to September Skies earlier on today and I was just taking this magical experience that Jessica Butcher has written and Safi has been a part of and that you've directed. It's a wonderful piece and I can't wait to listen to the rest of the collection. Can you tell me a little bit about the Digital Caravan Theatre and the ethos behind the online festival? Because there's a lot of accessibility with all these pieces, because I understand that there's British Sign Language with all the productions.
Yeah, I mean, whether we are doing live shows in the actual caravan or going digital as we are now, we really just want to make really brilliant theatre more approachable and accessible to as many people as possible. That's really at the heart of everything that we're doing. All our shows are free, whether you're coming into the caravan or listening to the shows. And it's just all about making really good theatre for as many people as possible. And the opportunity to incorporate BSL translation felt really essential. We're always striving to make our work more accessible. And so, yeah, definitely accessible. And that's what good theatre should all be about. So yeah, we had Jackie Beckford doing the BSL interpretation and she's really amazing actually. She brings so much personality and character to each piece and atmosphere. She just seems to create that through her interpretation. So she's incredible to watch and we are more responsive to our audience needs that way, whether it's the live show or whether we're developing digital work. We want to always get better. We want to learn and grow and get better at doing that, because we're all about breaking barriers for people to be able to experience good theatre. We don't want there to be any barriers to that.
No, exactly. And we should say that all the pieces, like you just said, were performed in person in the caravan at the Kensington Theatre Caravan Festival. Can you tell me what it's been like to have those plays now transfer over to audio and what that process has been like with the actors themselves?
Yeah, this is our first time ever doing digital work. All our plays were originally performed in the caravan and they were written specifically for the caravan theatre space, which is really unique, and then performed live in that space. The space itself offers such a unique experience between audience and characters particularly. There's a real truthful connection between that's being made between them. There's a genuine feeling of unity and camaraderie. We're all in it together when we're in the caravan and we're all as important as each other in that space, and that was something we really wanted to keep hold of, the connection between audience and characters, because I think that's what makes what we do so unique and special. So when going into digital, we thought, well, we need to embrace that and how can we do that? And then we realized that the space that we're going to is people's ears, and that's even more micro of a space than the caravan theatre itself. And then we were thinking, and actually we can get even more epic because we're working with people's imagination and we can go anywhere. And that's where Nicola, our sound designer, really comes into her own, where she can create soundscapes which can take you really anywhere the character wants you to go.
Yeah, Nicola's sound design is just so gorgeous and just takes you away on this magical journey that Kite, a part of September Skies, the character, takes us on. And just the underlying, you know, tone and the sound is just gorgeous of it.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure to work so closely with Nicola, our sound designer. She's really been the kind of central artist really amongst all three of them, bringing them all and all their unique world to life. Just been so exciting to watch her work or listen to her work and creating all of these levels and layers of sounds, bringing the pieces to life in your ears. And then in addition to that, Jackie's BSL interpretation adding yet another level. It's just been so exciting to collaborate with them.
Yeah. And what do you hope that audiences will take away from the productions in the online festival?
Well, I hope they love them, most importantly. We have Emma, Jessica and Abby, who are all just brilliant writers. The worlds that they have made, they're characters are gorgeous. Their stories are so special. And then we have Lily, Danielle and Safi, who are all amazing actors and have literally got the characters in their bones. They performed them with us in the caravan all last year, and they're all with us again, and they're kind of channeling the power of those characters and sharing that directly with audiences in their ears. I hope that people feel they can immerse themselves in the worlds with the characters and allow themselves to go on the journeys with them and feel lifted and stronger in themselves as a result of hearing the stories, and connected as well. That's at the heart of what we're doing, whether it's connection with the characters, the stories, the world, or their own community. These stories have all been inspired by our local community of North Kensington, but I think they all have universal feeling because the details of communities are recognisable to everybody. So I hope people will feel more connected to their neighbours, their neighbourhood, the streets where they live, their local shops. And all of this seems just even more important than ever at the moment. We're living in this global pandemic that often means we are apart from each other or literally in isolation. So connection and empowerment feels really important, and that's through that feeling of community.
Yeah, and we were saying earlier on at the beginning of the episode how all of these plays that were part of the Caravan Theatre were all performed live, and it was a free space so people could come in and watch these shows. And obviously you've got that accessibility, and we've already spoken about the British Sign Language with Jackie with all of these productions. Why do you think it's so important for our industry?
I think that fringe theatre generally is the sort of roots and the core of our industry. We are there to serve the population, and the population is vast. It's not just one kind of person who's comfortable in one kind of environment. And so it's important that we adapt and grow and make ourselves more approachable. The Caravan Theatre for me has been completely liberating. We're sort of off grid in a way. Our roots are in fringe theatre, but we're almost even breaking away from that. We're going to the streets, to marketplaces with the Caravan Theatre, directly to the doorsteps of people's lives, taking our little micro plays, which really hold the essence of the stories, the characters, like a diamond. Everything is squeezed into that precious moment, and people can be walking along, doing their shopping, and discover the Caravan offering a free 15-minute show, a play, and they're like, well, why not? So we have that direct connection with our audiences that larger scale buildings just can't have. The audience want to talk to us after. They want to tell us how they felt about the play, or how they related to the character, or how a certain moment connected with them. They want to talk to the actors, and sometimes they feel really deeply moved and they want to share that with us. And sometimes they just want us to look after their shopping while they go in and watch the show. And it makes me just so happy that we can be that responsive and we've created such an equalizing place. I feel that theatre should belong to everyone, and they feel like, I think that what we're doing belongs to them. They don't have to go to a fancy building or pay a lot of money for a ticket. It's about taking the exclusivity out of theatre and making it part of everyday life. I'm from a working class background myself and haven't grown up in theatre circles, but I found something in theatre that touches my heart, and it's been a sort of sanctuary for me. And so sharing that with other people and seeing other people finding that too has just been a real joy.
Well, thank you so much, Yasmin, for coming on to the Stage Place today. We're going to be chatting to some of the artists later on in the episode that you've been talking about with all the plays. Thank you so much, Yasmin, for coming on to the Stage Place.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Take care.
And there we go, that was our interview there with Yasmin Arden, who once again was the director of all three pieces for the Caravan Theatre and Digital Caravan Theatre radio plays. And now we are moving over to chat with Jessica Butcher, who was the writer of September Skies.
Hello Jessica, welcome to the Stage Place.
Hello, thank you for having me, this is great.
Thanks so much for coming on. Before obviously we started recording, we were chatting about it anyway, but I listened to September Skies earlier on today and I was just completely encapsulated by this story that was taking us on a journey in this caravan that Kite, the main character, is in. It was so lovely and it took me back to when I was a child and wanting to be a spy and wanting to go on all these missions around the world. And actually, without giving too much away, September Skies does take us away in a way from the caravan itself. What was the process like for you writing that play? And what did you really want to get from it?
Such a good question. Well, thanks so much for listening to it. It's been a joy to write and work on really since the beginning. But what I really wanted to get from it was I was remembering and observing in younger people the amazing imagination of children, basically. Particularly that bit, which is Kite's in remembering a time, a summer holiday at the end of year five, going into year six. She's going to the end of primary school. And I was remembering myself and my kind of amazing, and my sister, like our just amazing imagination. We just used to play these incredible games and invent these. We used to build dens and tree. We had a tree house. It wasn't really a tree house. It was just basically a plank of wood in a tree, but we loved it. And those sort of amazingly long summer holidays when you could just do what you want. And I love that feeling. And I wanted to remember it and recreate it and to sort of send out this idea that you can create those moments in your own life every day. It doesn't necessarily, you don't necessarily need to have a caravan or even a plank in a tree. You can have a piece of paper and a pencil. You can do a dance or you can sing a song or go for a nice walk. You know, it's all there is basically what I wanted to encapsulate in the play.
And getting that play to its audiences. So it was first staged last year at the Kensington Theatre Festival inside the Caravan Theatre itself. What was it like having the piece, which was staged last year, now transferring over audio and working with the creatives? Because obviously it's the same team that was working on last year's piece. What's it now like working with the creatives virtually rather than in person with them?
Yeah, but it is different, obviously. And the first thing is that we did a read through on Zoom and we all talked and worked on the script and I did some changes. So originally it was, well, obviously in the caravan with a real live audience, but caravans and real live audience is not very good at the moment. So I changed it. I rewrote bits of it so that she is in a recording studio in a caravan. Yeah. It's not the biggest changes, but just so that we still have that sort of immersive experience and that real life experience. So hopefully that when you listen to it, you think, oh, she's talking to me from her studio. And so, yeah, that was really important. And then with the creative team, the thing that was different, but not bad, quite interesting and wonderful, really, is that you get to focus more on. So first of all, we're just looking at the audio world that we want to create. And when you have amazing people like Nicola, who's our sound designer, she was able to do so much more with the sound landscape of the piece and bring it out so that it was even more alive. And to me, that is just like joy, because you can go so much further than you can do on stage. I mean, you just got people's ears, you can do a lot, and that is really cool.
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed the fact that my experience with September Skies, I was wearing my headphones, so it was like fully, like, you know, there was nothing else around me that could really, you know, take me away from it. And like you say, at the very beginning, you've got these jingles that come in, these little songs that
kind of is like jingles. They were such fun to write.
Yeah, they sound so cool. But then afterwards, like, she is talking to the audience because she is like, settle down, have you settled down? Like, it reminds me of like Dora the Explorer when she talks to us on the TV and she's like, you know, trying to get answers from us. Like, it really felt like Kite was in my head and, you know, she was really telling me to, you know, pay attention to the story. And, you know, it really works because you may worry that it may be just for a younger audience, for example. But actually, the thing about theatre in general, but with audio plays and these micro plays, is that they really do just take you away from real life and you know, take you back. And actually, even after the piece, I was thinking about the times when I was younger and I was on holiday, like in the woods, and we would go camping and there wasn't a television to keep us, you know, company. And actually, you know, we were just playing with twigs and making dens. And, you know, we didn't have this idea that we were going to do that when we were going to go on holiday. But our imaginations just ran wild and we just have fun and just create stuff whilst we're away. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think not having visual can really help one's imagination, because you've got to do that. You're allowed to do that work yourself, aren't you, in your brain? So you can imagine what you want, really. But I'm very pleased that you like kite telling people to sit down, because I think I had a little laugh with that, because I thought so much of, you know, sometimes when we listen to things, it's so easy to be distracted, isn't it? Especially if you're on your phone, you think, oh, I'll have a look at this or what's going on in the news or whatever. But I sort of thought, well, I wonder if I could get a line in here where she can actually tell them to sit down, be quiet, and listen to it. And I wonder if it will work. So I'm glad you picked up on that.
Yeah. And just in general, what do you hope audiences will take away from September Skies as a piece?
I would like them to take away the idea that they totally have permission to use their imagination if they want to, and that there is no harm at all in giving something a go. And the other thing that I've thought about a lot is that should young people be listening to it, the kind of idea, there's a big thought in it about when you're nervous, particularly being nervous of going to school, which I don't know if you had, but I did, and I've met a lot of people that do, especially young people at the moment, very understandably so. So with the virus, that it's all right to be nervous, and it's okay, and it will be all right, and that there will always be good somewhere, and that if you need to use your imagination to help you, then go for it. But I think that there's real relief there, isn't there? And that's what I think about it, really.
Yeah. And with all this accessibility going on, and so many fringe companies that are also putting their work out for audiences, you know, online, why do you think fringe theatre is so important for our industry?
I think fringe theatre is the lifeblood of our industry. I think it's how the industry is powered. Not many people will say that, but I think that, because that's where all the ideas are coming from. You know, you don't need to look very far at the huge West End names or even the names of television to go, oh, they do a show in Edinburgh in 2003.
Yes.
Yes is probably the answer. Yeah. So I think the Fringe is everything, really. And I think it's one of the only places, and it's world renowned for being a place where ideas are born and where you can take risks without getting into huge amounts of trouble. The audiences are so open. My experience of, you know, the Fringe has been my career. I've only really worked on the Fringe, and I love it. I think it's the birthplace of the imagination, and also it's accessible, because West End theatres cannot take huge risks on new writers, whereas the Fringe can, and it's accessible, and it is slowly moving in the right direction, and is setting an example, I think, to the powerhouses in London about the ways that you can promote equality, have equality, diversity. Yeah, and I think it's the most joyful of places, and it needs to be looked after.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think you just hit the nail on the head there about it. Like, you know, it really is, you know, people do start up off at the Fringe, and you know, it really is that catapult for so many creatives. Like, it's insane. And, you know, I do think that sometimes people forget that, because they just go for the shows that are in London, because they're always there, whereas Fringe theatres, and that's the great thing about festivals, all these plays, they can be such limited runs because they may never get transfers. So you always have these little memories of these shows that you'd seen that you may, that audiences may never get to see again. It may be very limited. And you've got that unique experience of seeing that show.
Absolutely agree. And I think that also, I think that there's something about the Fringe which is intrinsically human and real, because most of the time, let's face it, it's you in a room either performing to a smallish audience, or if they're not small, they're very, very close to you, or both. And it's like no other experience in the world, is it? Isn't it? It's alive, and it's so real, and you can't hide, and you haven't got a revolving stage at the Olivier, but you don't need a revolving stage at the Olivier. We're all right, you know. I've seen some of the best moments of my life watching one person basically in a cell in Edinburgh talking to me. Yeah. And I've thought, this is fantastic. You know, I think it's so important, and I hope it's going to be all right. I think it is, hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, Jessica, thank you so much for coming on to the Stage of Place today to talk about September Skies and about Fringe Theatre. And once again, I really did love it, and I will absolutely be tweeting about it to make sure that it hits a wider audience. Hopefully some people are listening to it, and then we'll retweet it off that and everything. And it's such a beautiful piece. You should be really proud of it, because it just really, I didn't realise I was going to be taken on such a journey when I listen to it. So it's amazing.
That's very, very kind of you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
We just heard there Jessica Butcher, who is the writer of September Skies, and we're now going to be chatting to Safia Ingar, who is the performer in the piece, playing Kite and other characters.
Hello, Safia. Welcome to the Stage of Place.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I was just saying to you beforehand, obviously today we're going to chat about September Skies, which was written by Jessica Butcher, and you starring as Kite and other characters here and there within the piece. I was just saying before this call today that I just listened to it about half an hour ago, and I absolutely loved how magical and how inspiring it is. And I hope that listeners after today will go off and listen to all the pieces with the Digital Caravan Theatre. Can you tell me a little bit about September Skies and how you got involved in the project?
So September Skies is a lovely 15-minute long play following the journey of a young woman called Kite. And in this story, she takes you through the wonderful world of flying in a caravan with her best friend Bee, her relationship with her mom, her relationship at school with her favourite teacher, and just she talks about the kind of adventures that you can have and the love and life and laughter and adventure that you have when you're a kid. And, you know, I think people tend to lose as they get older, and her just wanting to recapture that and express that to whoever happens to be listening at the time. And Kite is a, oh God, I love her. She's amazing. Kite is a wonderful young woman, and she is open to the world, and she sees everything in a really big way, like nothing's small for her. And she doesn't lose that as she gets older. If anything, I think she understands it more and she takes advantage of it more, because you see a lot happening in the world right now where, you know, a lot of love and light seems to be stripped away from things, and adventure seems to be stripped away from things because people are too, you know, there's so much happening. And I guess Kite is one of those people who will always just be there to remind you to have fun and to have adventure and to make sure you just take care of yourself and to just try things. Just like, don't be limited by things, just try.
And what's it like being involved in the project throughout lockdown? Because obviously you're chatting to all these creatives virtually rather than in person in a room. What's that been like, connecting with the artists virtually?
Oh, I was gutting. I remember we did like a Zoom call at the beginning of it all, and it was so lovely being able to see everyone on screen. But we did, like, there were so many times where, like, we just sort of like a cat, like we just like sort of like stroking the screen a little bit, because we were just like, I want to be able to like reach out and hug you, and, you know, just, oh, it felt like we're being robbed of something. But considering we'd worked together before, it was very much like, yeah, we got this, we know what we're doing, we trust each other with this, had like some lovely conversations, made sure we were all like feeling good as well. That's another thing, just touching base on a very human level. That was really nice, like working with a team that, you know, actually cares about everyone involved, and we're all just had a massive chinwag before we actually got down to business, and we're like, right, we need to focus. But it was, I think that was the only difference, really, just not being able to actually like be there with them and see them and stuff. And then obviously being in my little booth by myself and having to, I mean, as you do with voice acting, and I love voice acting, and it's something that you need to do anyway, having to imagine all the circumstances rather than gauging the reactions of people and all that sort of stuff. That was tricky, but, you know, it's one of the challenges, and it's a different medium, it's a different form of storytelling, and I'm always well and good for a challenge. I'm always up for a challenge.
What do you hope that audiences take away from September Skies after listening to it?
I hope that they take away the knowledge that they can do anything, and positivity isn't a bad thing. Kindness isn't difficult. It costs you absolutely nothing to be kind to someone. It costs you nothing to attempt something. So in the play, the biggest thing is drawing. And she talks about her best friend Bee and how her best friend draws. And really funnily enough, I've actually got into digital drawing lately because, and it's something that I've always wanted to do because I'm a massive like anime nerd and stuff, and I love fan art and I love all that sort of stuff. And I've got loads of friends who are like either proper like art majors, or when we were younger, they used to draw manga and stuff. And I just never, it didn't cross my mind that was something I was even capable of doing. I lacked the artistic resources as well, which was a bit gutting. But what I didn't really realize was just how much is actually now out there for you to just have a go. And I downloaded like a free app on, you know, my partner's tablet and just had a go at it. And I'm actually pretty good. Like, I'm actually really good at it. And I'm just creating all these like really quirky anime edits. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And I never thought it was something I can do. And I've got friends who are like, Saf, you're actually really good. And I'm like, I know, I didn't think I would be. So it's such a nice feeling. And it's just things like that. It's just things like it's okay to be brave, and it's okay to try, and it's okay to fail. Like, you're not going to get everything right, but just go for it. You know what I mean? And so many amazing things can happen, and you don't need much to have adventure and fun and laughter, as long as you're with someone that you love and trust, whether it's your best friend, family member, partner, a pet. Do it with your cat. Talk to your cat. Go on an adventure with your cat. They'd love it. They wouldn't know what's going on, but they'd love it. And to just think about other people, I guess. There's lots of things. There's so much to take away with this piece. Some kids would just be like, that lady was talking for ages and gave me a pencil. And then the parents would look at the pencils that I gave them and go, maybe I can do something with this. Like, you know.
Yeah, I definitely took that away from the story. Well, hearing it at the end, and these pencils that you find within the caravan, and the, you know, it's just the starting point, and just getting that pencil to paper and just starting something really, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It can just be something lots of fun and just something in the moment. It's a fantastic message that I think you bring across really well as the artist in the piece. But again, Jessica's writing just really excels that within the piece itself. So my final question today is, why do you believe that fringe theatre is so important for our industry?
Because there is a very, 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 very obvious elitism in this industry. You know, I've definitely profited off because I've worked in some fantastic theatres that aren't, you know, 100% accessible. And I've been lucky to work with the kind of teams who want to make it more accessible. It's just always about money nowadays. And it's just, I say nowadays, it always has been, but like, it's a money game. And fringe theatre brings something that it just shows other people that they're allowed to belong. And there's still problems that we need to iron out. I can't get into that right now. It's a whole other conversation. But like, you know, I watch people and how they move, especially with fringe theatre, and the passion that people put behind their productions in fringe theatre, especially when it's from marginalised groups, especially from when it's from like the LGBTQA+ community, when it's from the Black community, when it's from like just anyone who's marginalized right now, lacks a voice, East Asian community, South Asians, like all of us, the ones that we just don't have a platform because no one's given it to us. Fringe is there for us. And, you know, when we're lucky to make it in with that, when we're lucky to get the funding for that, it's something that we can properly use and express ourselves. And sometimes it can be absolutely daft, but that's what we like. That's what we like. We need our stories to be told. And sometimes they are just silly. And then there's other times where we want to be really serious and tell some really serious stories. But Fringe is so important. It's so important. And I guess, and then also that we need to break down the stigma around the elitism of, you know, Fringe theatre not actually being theatre. It's like, just because I performed in a caravan in the middle of a market for free for anyone who wanted to walk in and see me, it doesn't make my story less valuable than people who have to pay £65 for a ticket in the West End. Because the price doesn't matter. It's about what people walk out with. It's about that feeling of knowing that their story was told, they felt represented, they felt like they heard something that they needed to hear. You know, I think that's where the importance is with fringe theatre.
I think, yeah, it really does catapult people's careers, you know, and it's the starting point. And, you know, for people who may not have access to those bigger theatres around London or around the country, regional theatres, it's so nice that there are festivals that allow people to get out onto the circuit, onto the fringe circuit and do their pieces. And what you just saying there at the beginning about accessibility, like you've got, you know, especially now in lockdown, you've got so many people who are doing their online shows or are, you know, streaming archive performances of their fringe performances, you know, in previous years. I think it's absolutely fantastic that people who may not have the money to go out to, you know, festivals usually can watch it from the comfort of their own homes. So absolutely, like, you know, you've just hit the nail on the head there. That's absolutely perfect. Well, Sophia, thank you so much for joining me on the Stagey Place. If people want to catch September Skies, where can they listen to it?
If you want to catch September Skies, just type September Skies Digital Caravan on Google and it will show up. It's all entirely free.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so, so much for having me. And thank you for everything that you're doing with this and this platform. And take care of yourself, guys.
Safia Ingar there, chatting about her role in September Skies. And to finish off today's episode, we are going to move over to Enough, written by Abby Zakarian, starring Lily Driscoll, who will be chatting about her role as Olive in the piece.
I am joined by Lily Driscoll. Hello, Lily. Nice to have you on the stage, please.
Hi, nice to be here.
How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, thank you. Not too bad. It's a chillier day, so I'm like, you know, not too hot.
No, exactly. I was just saying before we started this recording that I've just listened to Enough, which is the piece that you did and was written by Abby Zakarian. Talk to me a little bit about the piece and about Olive, because when I was listening to it, and I've said this before with September Skies, which you spoke about earlier on in the episode, Nicola's sound design for this piece is amazing. And you're set in a marketplace, listening to it with headphones, which I really do advise for listeners out there to listen to these mini micro plays. It really sets you into the piece of the moment. So talk to me about Enough and about your character of Olive.
So Enough is, it's a lovely piece. It's such a lovely piece. And you're so right. Nicola's sound design is, it's just added a whole other layer to the world that Enough is set in. So originally we were in the caravan last year in the middle of the market. And basically Olive lives in the caravan. It's her home. And she's a local. She's been around for years. As if you have listened to it, you will know how old she is. Yeah. she works in Tesco's. She's like that kind of local that would say hello to everyone and know every single person's name on her street. She goes on a journey where she tells you about the people she comes across in day-to-day life and the people she helps and looks after. And I guess her thing is just to enrich people's lives. I think she's that kind of character you would love to have as your friend because she'd do anything for you. She'd do anything for anyone. I think she's probably the most positive character I've ever played, which, I mean, it says a lot about my career, but the fact that Abby wrote the part for me, you know, Olive has my speech patterns and it's just such a lovely thing to do a part that was written for me, you know, like the backstory behind all of it.
Yeah. And like you just said there, this piece Enough was originally performed last year at the Caravan Theatre in a marketplace. What's it like now taking Enough, the piece, and doing it virtually where you're recording it? I'm guessing in your own home, your own home studio. Obviously, you've got the creatives virtually rather than in the room directing you, you know, with the piece.
Well, actually, Yasmin did come to my flat. I think I'm probably the only one that she came to because at the beginning of this, I had a really my laptop was dying. It was literally on its last legs and it was making some awful noises. And I said to Yasmin, I was like, don't know if it's going to last to film this. And so she, her and Jamie, her husband, who she runs Small Truth with, they had invested in some sound equipment. And so they came around to my flat and they set it all up for me and sort of helped me do it, which was amazing. It was so lovely for Yasmin to be there because it's just such a collaboration. These pieces are they're very collaborative. And the whole way through the caravan experience, Abby was there, Yasmin was there. It was a lovely little thing to be involved in. So digitally, I think the difference is really that you can play around with how you use your voice and you know, like what moments you really want to savor and you want to whisper and, you know, give it different tones and levels and things like that.
Yeah. And obviously the piece obviously has a few singing bites, a few song bites. What was that like, probably belting that out in your room, were you, whilst recording?
I mean, the issue in my flat was that there was noise everywhere. And so we had to find the quietest space, which was in the hallway by the cat tray, because my flatmate has two cats. And I was like, oh, this is really, really lovely. We'll set up our little studio space next to the cat tray. So, you know, it's just those things. It's really nice to make art in different spaces and to have different experiences with it. I think, you know, there's always a backstory behind how things are created and stuff. And I just think this just adds another another layer to it, you know. But yes, the singing moments were fun to do, and I think I was more worried about those than anything else. I was like, oh, do I sound all right?
And as you were saying earlier on as well, Abby wrote the piece specifically for you. Like you say, it's got your mannerisms, it's got the way that you talk. Were you involved in the collaborative process in terms of the writing then for the show?
Yeah, no, I mean, I won't take any credit in the writing. That's definitely Abby. And her words are always amazing. I've worked with her more than once. So we have a very strong friendship. She just knows my way. I don't know, like you said, mannerisms and things like that. And so she kind of knew how I would, you know, my speech patterns. And yeah, I mean, I think me and Yasmin, we did have to cut quite a bit because originally it was like far too long. And Abby had given us this really, really rich piece and we just had to distill it, which was great. That was definitely a collaboration. So Abby came to the caravan when we were rehearsing and we just sort of went through a couple of bits and it was like, I don't know if this is necessarily needed. And maybe, yeah, a couple of little tweaks here and there with some of the language, you know, because it kind of has to be natural to, if I wouldn't say a certain word, then, you know, I will say, oh, I don't think I'd say it. I'd say this instead, you know. Yeah. And that's why I think acting is such a collaboration with the team that you work with. It's not all about, you know, here's what you're going to say and here's how you're going to act. The actor has agency in the room, and I would say to anyone in that position, you know, like if it doesn't feel real to you, then say something.
Yeah. And what I took from the piece is to smile, and you know, it's enough just to smile for someone. Not you'll see somebody on the street, you know, it doesn't cost anything to smile either. Like we're always told that, like, you know, it causes nothing. So I really took that away, especially with Nicola's ambience and sound design continues after your last words, and it almost feels like you're still in that marketplace around all these people, and actually you're smiling because of Olive's story that she's just told us. What do you hope that other audiences will take away from the piece in general?
Well, I love that at the end, like you've picked up on the fact that the noise continues and the world continues after you've heard the piece. And so it's like you take this forward with you, this new smile at someone. Yeah, I just feel like it's very special. I hope the audiences take away the message of kindness. You know, the small things in life are there to be sort of savored and, you know, appreciated. And I think each piece has their own kindness message. You know, you've got all three of the plays that have themes of kindness in them, and so I do think that's the overall message for all of the caravan plays. I really hope that people listening will take that forward, and it's not a hashtag, you know, it's like be kind. Kindness is something that we should all think about more and we should all act upon more, because once we've lost that, you know, what do we have left? We have a very, very hard world, especially at the moment that we're living in. So why not, you know, spread kindness? And it's not cheesy, and it's a simple message that I hope people will sort of, you know, take on board.
Yeah.
In the caravan, you can't have wheelchairs in there, but we had a couple of people in wheelchairs where we'd just have the door open. And we'd have the wheelchair in the doorway. You know, the accessibility is so important for all of us. And I'm so glad the BSL videos exist, because my piece, when we did it in the caravan, had a bit of Makaton in it. I've worked with special needs children for quite a long time. And so we tried to incorporate as much Makaton in my piece as we could. So it's very special that it's that accessible.
Yeah. And what do you personally think that fringe theatre is so important for our industry?
I mean, it's the basis behind a lot of people's early careers. I think people that struggle financially, people that aren't middle class, people that want to get into theatre. I mean, Fringe is the most accessible, I would say, to get into as an artist at the beginning of your career. I don't know, there's certain Fringe venues that just feel more welcoming. And I guess the community thing, you know, the fact that Small Truth create community theatre is one of the most amazing things. You know, you've got lots of bigger theatres that have the money to do these projects, and they could probably do some really amazing community projects, but they just don't. They don't put their money into their local area because a lot of the time, I think they're focused on, you know, like ticket sales and making money from having celebrity castings and things like that. I think Fringe is what, you know, what the real world is. Yeah. And what the reality of the industry is. And it can be terrible, you know. Fringe can be really bad. You can do a profit share job above a pub and get nothing back from doing that job. You will have people try and sell it to you like, oh, this is exposure. It's not exposure. It's not. It's you giving up. It's free labor, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get why people do it. I've done it in the past, but it's really hard, especially if you can't afford that, you know? Like, if you're from any kind of background where you don't have family money, like, it's elitist in every way, and we know that about our industry anyway, you know? Like, everyone, unless you're privileged or have been, you know, brought up where you'll just get a job because, you know, your mum works for Sky or something, everyone has to kind of come up the ranks in some way. And so I just feel like Fringe is a necessity in industry. Yeah.
Fringe companies also extremely appreciate the exposure that people may give their companies. And, you know, they really appreciate the audiences that they get in person. Mm. Like, it's a much more tight-knitted family. It's this year when I went down to the Vaults Festival in London. Mm. Everyone's just so networking and connecting because we all know that we're all in the same boat and that we're all, you know, just trying to make our way through, you know, like you say, through the ranks up through the stages.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a big family, especially in Fringe Theatre.
I think there's elements of that for sure. Like, there's definitely people that start theatre companies with their friends they went to uni with. And I do think that there's still lots of work to be done on who you let into your space and all of that, because there are people that will never get let into those circles. And that's in Fringe too. I mean, I think it's just more immediate, you know. I would say that's what Fringe is. It's more immediate. And I think that, you know, like, kids that maybe have only gone to the Panto at Christmas and that's the only theatre they've ever seen, they'll come to something like the Vaults or whatever, and they'll maybe see themselves a bit more because there'll be shows that are about everything. And that's what Fringe is. You know, you're never going to feel like that close to the world that you're seeing in the West End, for example. You're just not. I mean, most shows don't have someone that sounds like me in them. If you don't see yourself represented, you're not going to think it's possible for you. And there's lots and lots of young people that will struggle to get in the industry in any way if they don't see more people that look and sound like them. You know, race and class and disabilities and all of those things that we're talking about now, it's so important to keep those conversations open because we need the industry to be more accessible. And if Fringe is the beginning of that, then good. I'm glad. It's the bigger industries that need to take that on and start being better, you know, addressing those things. I think Yasmin's done such a good job. I mean, the fact that me, Danielle and Safi all sound like we sound, you know, are from very, like, each of us are from very different kind of backgrounds, but kind of the same as well, you know. Like, Yasmin has something about finding people, and I'm just very, very glad to have found her, you know.
Well, Lily, I'd like to thank you so much for coming onto the Stage of Place. That was an amazing bit of talk there. I don't think I'm gonna edit any of that out for the episode. Yeah, I just think it's so important that we do talk about that, and we do talk about the whole elitist thing and how it does shape that and how representation isn't seen on the bigger stages, but actually like you say, it's immediate and it's all there for you to see in Fringe Theatre, and it's fantastic. So thank you so much for coming on. For anybody who wants to listen to Enough, where can they catch it?
It's caravantheatre.co.uk.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Lily, for joining me on the Stage Place today.
Thank you.
And there we go, that was the team behind the Digital Caravan Theatre. I'd like to thank Yasmin Arden, Jessica Butcher, Safia Ingar and Lily Driscoll for taking their time to chat with me today. If you're new to The Stagey Place, my name's Elliot and you can follow us on Instagram at The Stagey Place. And until next time, I hope you're keeping safe and look forward to hear from you soon.